As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Atlas have a chance to win back-to-back titles, while Pachuca have a chance to finish off an incredible season. What is to come in the Liga MX final, which starts tonight? Felipe Cardenas is here to fill us in. From The Athletic, I'm Alex Abnos, and this is Soccer Every Day for Thursday, May 26th. We have come to the end of the Liga MX Clausura tournament. And there are two teams remaining, Atlas and Pachuca. They play the two-legged final, the first leg of which is tonight at Atlas hosting Pachuca at 10 p.m. on TUDN. And here to talk about this matchup, I have Felipe Cardenas. Felipe, what do you think about these two teams? I think it's actually a really interesting matchup between two teams that are not considered necessarily the two giants in Mexico, but two solid teams. This isn't Club America, this isn't Cruz Azul, this isn't Monterrey, even like some of the teams that have, you know, that you think about dominating Liga MX recently. But two very, very solid sides, two very, very solid coaches. Atlas, of course, the defending champions. Like, what do you think of this matchup?
You're right. I mean, I think the fact that the big clubs like Tigres and Club America, Monterrey are not here, it's the result is other teams getting into the final. So while they're not the biggest clubs in terms of budget, you know, Atlas is traditionally one of the most supported clubs in Mexico. And then Pachuca is one of the top run clubs in Mexico. They have a very solid homegrown academy process. And they have a history of winning finals. If they win, this would be their sixth title. And so I think even though we don't have these big clubs, you have probably the two best teams on paper, or at least what they've produced on the field. You know, Pachuca was the top seed in the Liguilla. And like you mentioned, Atlas is the defending champion. So I think two similar styles as well that should result in, you know, we talk about this routinely when we talk about Liga MX, like, you know, finals are always pretty crazy in Mexico. But when you have two teams that, like, they press all over the field, you know, they're flying around, they want to get forward. That's the style of both Pachuca and Atlas. So it should be a pretty entertaining final if neither team decides to just be really conservative. But I don't think many teams do that in Mexico anyway.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and go sort of team by team through this. I will raise my hand here and own up to the fact that I believe on a previous episode of this show, I had mentioned that the second leg of the Atlas Tigres semifinal before this final was probably going to be potentially a little bit boring because Atlas took the first leg 3-0. I've been more wrong before, but not by much. I was very, very wrong. Tigres won that second leg 4-2, but Atlas went through on 5-2 goal differential, or sorry, 5-4 on aggregate. But Felipe, that somehow does not encapsulate all that happened in the second leg, because the result that you see, the 4-2 result, is not technically the final result that we came across. I'm looking at the score sheet here. I see that Gignac got a hat trick, two of which were penalties. All of the goals came within about 20 minutes of each other. I'm seeing that Atlas scored a penalty in the 90th plus 10th minute. I see that Nahuel Guzman, the Tigres goalkeeper, got a red card in the 90th plus 13th minute. What happened in this game? Like, this is insane.
It was insane. If anyone did not stay up late to watch that game on Saturday night, you know, the final 10 minutes were just wild. I mean, you mentioned the goals. The first 58, 60 minutes were crazy too. But in the end, there was a controversial penalty in favor of Atlas. I was sort of up in the air about it. It would look like sort of a misjudged shoulder to shoulder that turned into a shoulder to back. And Aldo Rocha, converted that penalty for Atlas. But the reason why it took so long was because they reviewed the penalty. And then, of course, Nahuel Guzman, the Tigres goalkeeper, went through his routine of trying to ice the kicker. He usually takes off his gloves and puts them back on and tightens them and then removes them again. This time he decided to act like he was crying on one knee. And which was just this bizarre scene. You know, he's at the Tigres Stadium in Monterrey, and he's on one knee crying. And Aldo Rocha, the Atlas penalty kick taker, is just sitting there, you know, just waiting and waiting. He finally gets up and converts the penalty. So that was the first weird moment of the final 10 minutes. Then Nahuel Guzman gets red carded because someone on the Atlas bench threw an extra ball onto the field to waste time, essentially. And the ref didn't know where that ball came from. He thought Nahuel Guzman was using a second ball to waste time. It was just a mess. And so he gets red carded. After the game, it was determined that Tigres had played with too many foreign players. I believe that they had up to 8 or 9 foreign players on the field at once. In Mexico, you're only allowed to have 7 players that were not developed in Mexico. It's a rule that they have. And so the Tigres manager, Miguel El Pio Herrera, later during this press conference, admitted that he made a mistake. I think he got caught, basically.
Sure.
And in doing so, Liga MX had to go through and essentially reward that game to Atlas as a forfeit. That's how severe a penalty that is. And so the goals you mentioned, Alex, you know, the hat trick by Gignac, that was essentially wiped out. All the drama was wiped out. On paper, I believe it was a 2-0 win for Atlas, and they advanced to the final.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This episode is supported by season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Yeah, and here they are again, once again in the final of Liga MX. And it's interesting that Atlas is here again because they won the Apertura, the opening tournament. They're back here again in the Clausura final. Their title in the Apertura was their first in 70 years. This was like this huge historic event, very unexpected. They kind of came out of nowhere to win it. It's interesting that they're here again, Felipe. You would think that would be a sort of a flash in the pan thing. Clearly not the case. What does Atlas do that has made them so successful? Is this a different team? Has there been any turnover at all from the last time? Or is this basically the same team doing the same things the same way?
Yeah. First of all, they're run by Grupo Orlegi, which is one of the better ownership groups in Mexico. You know, they own Santos Laguna and Atlas, run by a very successful sort of CEO-run organization that was in talks to purchase Newcastle United. They were in talks to purchase Real Zaragoza. So they're a very ambitious ownership group. And I think what they have in Atlas is they remember that in winning that first title in 70 years, they went through this big rebranding and a cultural rebranding as a club as well. They put the word transformation on the front of their jerseys, which, by the way, they still have on the front of the jersey, which I think is interesting because they've sort of completed that transformation on the field, but they continue to use that motto as motivation. But to your point, you know, on the field, you know, a lot of the same players, a veteran-led team with a lot of the same players that won the title in 2021. Julio Furch, the Argentine striker, sort of their lead guy. They have a Colombian and Julian Quiñones, who's a 1v1, sort of a second striker, very good. And then Aldo Rocha, who I've mentioned several times, he's like, you know, sort of the sergeant in midfield. He has become their talisman in this Liguilla. And of course, in the back of the net, you know, they have a very good goalkeeper in Colombian Camilo Vargas, who is really the future of the national team in Colombia as well. So very well put together team, and then a very well coached team with the Argentine Diego Coca, who is a former Atlas player, wasn't able to win the title as a player. In fact, in 1999, he was on the Atlas team that lost to Pachuca in the Liguilla semifinal. So there's a bit of revenge for him, right? Yeah. But you know, you asked me the question, like, how do they play? They press all over the pitch. You know, they want to get forward. They take a lot of risks. They're open about that. Coca has always said that that's the way they want to play. And I think just controversially in Mexico, none of their players have been picked by Tata Martino. And that's sort of like, I think it's more of a talking point as the sort of the squad selection that Tata Martino has had for the Mexican national team, but some good players, but not good enough apparently to be on the national team. Now, to end the Atlas, I think, storyline is if they win, I mean, just getting to the final is big. If they win a second consecutive, you know, it doesn't erase really what happened on March 5th. Remember, Atlas was the other team at Querétaro's stadium when that stadium violence took place. They were there. They were also sanctioned. Their fans were also sanctioned as well. So, you know, coming out of that controversy, they're back in the final. You know, they have sort of maintained that they weren't the guilty party as a club, but they were certainly involved. And so it is sort of a very eventful year for Atlas.
If anybody hasn't read yet the piece that you did along with Pablo Maurer going to Querétaro and sort of trying to dive into what exactly happened there, you should definitely check that out. It'll be linked in the show's description. Felipe, we've gotten all this way and we haven't talked at all yet about the top seed in the Liguilla, the regular season best record in the Clausura, which belongs to Pachuca. This is their first final since 2016, which they won. They're a very good team, and unlike Atlas, they do have a bunch of players, or at least a few, that are in contention for the Mexican national team to go to Qatar. What's sort of their story been this year, and who should we look out for on this Pachuca team?
Yeah, I mean, the big news in Pachuca was when they hired Guillermo Almada, the former Santos Laguna coach, who. It was a surprise when he left Santos. You know, it felt like he had something there. They were on the cusp of winning a championship. They lost the 2021 final. I believe that was the Apertura final to Club León. And, you know, what Almada has done, he's a fiery Uruguayan, you know, the same approach he had at Santos, which was, you know, relying on homegrown players, relying on the academy, then bringing in key internationals at key positions, mainly in the back four and in midfield. And he had some strong strikers as well up front with Santos. You know, he's done the same thing at Pachuca, and that's because that's the way Pachuca has always been. And so it really was a nice fit for Almada to go to Pachuca, where, again, he has a young team, several homegrown starters, three of which are, as you mentioned, are in the running. They've been named to the 38-man roster for Mexico for these summer's Nations League and the friendlies. That is Luis Chavez, who I really like. He's a left-footed holding midfielder. Very good. I don't think he'll have enough to get to the World Cup, but a good player. Eric Sanchez, who is the Chavez's midfield partner. They play with a double as double eights. Very small, diminutive sort of holding midfielder that gets forward, likes to shoot from outside the box. And then Kevin Alvarez is their homegrown right fullback, who's also on the national team this summer. So really good young players that are quick, smart, technical on the ball. And again, like Atlas, they're a team that want to get forward and they will take a lot of risks. So as I mentioned before, it's sort of two teams that are very well run, you know, very well run, have a history of getting to finals in a certain way. And I think Pachuca being the top seed, like, they're not the favorite, though. It's funny that the headlines in Mexico are like, can Pachuca ruin the party? Because Atlas obviously is going for their second consecutive title. But I like Pachuca a lot. I think I would give the advantage to Atlas, but I like the way Pachuca approaches football. And I've spoken personally with Guillermo Almada. This dude is crazy. I mean, crazy in a very fiery way. I mean, a quote that he had last year was, "If the opponent leaves blood, we'll leave a piece of our finger." So, I mean, come on, how do you not play for that guy?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds very Diego Simeone-esque, maybe even a little bit more extreme than that. This sounds like a really interesting matchup, I have to say, between the styles of the two teams. I can't wait to watch. The first leg starts tonight at 10 p.m. That's on Tudeane, and the second leg is on Sunday. Felipe, thank you so much for coming on the show today and previewing this this matchup.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Before we go, a TV guide for today. All times are Eastern, and in addition to the Liga MX final, which we just got finished talking about, which is at 10 p.m. tonight on Tudeane, it's also a big night in the Copa Libertadores. There are two windows of games to finish off the group stage at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., and both windows are actually pretty awesome. First, at 6 p.m., we have Atletico Paranaense versus Caracas and Libertad versus The Strongest. This is maybe the most interesting duo of games on the slate tonight, because these teams are tied on 7 points and 6 points in the same group, which means literally anything is possible. There are a lot of permutations that I'm just not going to get into right now, but you should watch those games, both of which are on BN Sports or one of the BN Sports channels. The 8 p.m. window is also very interesting, with Boca Juniors versus Deportivo Cali and Corinthians versus Always Ready. Very, very close group there as well. Cali and Corinthians are tied on 8 points at the top of the group, with Boca just 1 point behind. So once again, pretty much anything is possible, with the exception of Always Ready. They're pretty much out of the running for anything at this point. But they have a role to play, because they play Corinthians and can play spoiler. After that, it is Atlas Pachuca at 10. If you caught the times there, that means you can go 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and then 10 p.m. to midnight. You can have a solid 6 hours of soccer tonight, and probably have an excellent time no matter what. This show is produced by Mike Zimmerman with help from John Hayes. You can get ad-free versions of the show by subscribing to The Athletic, and you can subscribe for $1 a month for 6 months by going to theathletic.com/soccer every day. Thank you so much for listening, and happy soccer to you all.